Yes, Lord. I can't help but sing this song, this worship song, and smile. I just can't help myself. I don't know about you. Can you help yourself? Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he beautiful? Isn't he lovely? Aren't we blessed people? Oh, wow. How many have a lot going on in their life right now? Do we need the beautiful one?
Yes.
Yeah? Do we need him to be everything to us? Yeah? Yeah? As we sing and we cry out for him to open our eyes, do you know the way to open our eyes? Can I tell you? As we sing and cry out, which is good. To sing to him. Just sing to him and worship him. Just sing out how wonderful and how beautiful you are, Lord Jesus. You know, we know that this is a beautiful Sunday. This is a beautiful Mother's Day. And we have a beautiful Jesus. And in this world, he's reminding us always to keep our eyes on eternity. Keep our eyes on eternity. Keep our eyes on eternity. Because as we go through this life with the beautiful one, absolutely in the center of our world, of our lives, do you know that eternity becomes more and more and more and more exciting? The idea of eternal living. And it's not just living after we die, after we take our last breath and then go to be with Jesus, but living with the idea of eternity as we're dealing with life here, living in eternity. And I believe the Lord wants to remind us of that, but even along with a reminder, a verbal reminder, I just really believe that as we're worshiping him with everything, as Josh put it beautifully last week at his house for Imparty, you know, as we're worshiping him, we're not trying to stir up people saying, come on, let's worship. We just go for him. We just worship him. We can't help it. You know, some of us in here, now let me say all of us in here, are contending for great things in this life. And we know, or we're believing more and more, that our beautiful one is the one who paid the price for us to ensure that we can actually receive that hope from the Lord to be able to stand for the beautiful revelation of those promises here, because that's what happens here in this world. When we go to be with him, we already have the revelation completed, which is kind of cool. Been thinking about a lot of things this weekend. I'm a blessed woman. I am. As I approach this Mother's Day, many tears are flowing from me as a blessed woman. Tears of gratitude, deep gratitude, tears of deep sorrow mixed. It's like, man, God, this is like turning a faucet on and off. What's going on here? So I looked into the eyes of my mother last night through the night, who's suffered for decades, actually. And I looked at her, you know, and I could see the mother when I was a little girl. I said, I'm so blessed, God, that she's living in this world, even through her suffering. But I know many of us don't have our moms directly here with us, or maybe we even feel or have a situation where we're somewhat estranged. Or there's something that just brings to our heart when we think of Mother's Day. Yeah, anybody can relate to that? Probably most of us, some of us anyway. And I know some of us in here also, as we keep our eyes on the beautiful one, have suffered great loss. Loss of relationships, distance in relationships, death of relationships. It's like, oh, this is sounding heavy. Maybe even our own children have passed on. And we've tasted of motherhood, but it's been snatched from us. Or we want to walk in that place of motherhood and it hasn't happened yet. There are a lot of things, you know, surrounding the idea of being a mom. And I think there are many places that the Lord just wants to fill in today as we keep our eyes on the beautiful one. Traditionally, we come into church and we think, oh, Mother's Day, okay, I won't be the one who gets the flower. Oh, maybe I will, but I've got this child who doesn't see me for who I am or who I want to be, or I have regrets or whatever it would be. And so there's a bittersweet, there's a mixture in that at times. And I just really believe that our beautiful one wants to meet all of us where we are and wants to bless us. I really do. And I'm going to encourage us to sing this one again. It's a beautiful song. With the greatest joy inside of our hearts. Because do you know, if we're really truly grabbing on to the beautiful one, we can't help but being undone by this song. Even in the tears, even in the struggles with our husbands, our wives, our spouses, our family, our jobs, you know how it goes. I don't have to name them all. But the beautiful one is who we keep our eye on. And I'm going to ask Cynthia and Rachel to come up and help me. Because what I would like to do, this is kind of a new thought coming to me here. Thank you, Lord. And I would have all the gals in here do that, but these are I don't want to call you a token, but you're a representation of the next generation in this house, that's all. And I want to take my flower, okay? Now, this is not a works thing, okay? Like, well, let's see, how can I do this now? What do I have to do? What's my job? But I want to take this flower. And I want to say, as a mother, as a grandmother, I am so blessed. I have 5 children. I'm blessed. I have daughters-in-law and a couple sons-in-law also, which is nice. And I'm blessed. Very blessed. I had, until recently, 8 grandchildren, and now I have 9. I haven't seen the 9th one except on FaceTime, but she's a new little addition who lives out in Arizona, who's 4 years old, Amika May Goki. And she's of Indian descent, American Indian descent, and our son Jeff and his wife Patty adopted her to join with Ben and Cooper. And she's a fireball, a little spitfire. So she didn't know me. She saw me on the Skype and she said, I'm a Goki, whatever that is. And I said, yes, you are. She goes, who are you? Is that cool? So I was blessed by that. I laughed so hard. She goes, well, so you're going to come out and meet me? And I said, oh, yeah, I am. You know, that's a fun little story. And then my other little granddaughter, who is 5, the only other girl, and the rest are all boys. I'm so blessed. She blew my mind in the car just up from the week, to go to her sister's, Jenna, my daughter-in-law's sister's wedding. So our little Haley Grace Wheeler from Orlando, who I don't get to see very often, sat in the car with Pastor Bill and I and proceeded to tell us how much Jesus meant to her as she sang to us about Jesus, and that her heart was upset when people don't know him. And the things that we saw in her were incredible. It's like, wow, another generation. She's crazy already. Inside, see a lot of evangelism coming out of her already. So we're blessed. Another generation of a female offspring. And I think, you know, God, you're really smart. You know what to do. You want us to sow seed into those beautiful lives. And here we have daughter Christy, and we have, who's also a spiritual daughter, and many spiritual daughters in this house. What is a spiritual daughter? One who connects in with the Holy Spirit and is able to receive and give, a son or a daughter in the house, but release to the next generation. But see the value of relationship. See the value of connection. See the value of anointing, and invite that and release it and give it away from the Lord and those who are around her. I see many mothers in the Lord being raised up here. I see those who will have spiritual sons and daughters, as I do. And these two here will just represent the ladies in this house. So guys, your day's coming. This is not for you, but we love you. But one thing I would say to you guys is that you would find your mother if she's alive, and you would express your deep love for her. It's nice to do things, but deep love, appreciation, and gratitude in more than a card, but start there. More than a phone call, but start there. And if there's an issue in your world or life, time to get over yourself. Mommies are irreplaceable. Yeah? But what we want to do today with all of that, yeah, I just had this thought. I thought this is rather non-traditional, but you know. I would like to honor the women in this house, all of you. All of you, because I believe all of you in here love and stand for life. All of you in here came from a mother who gave you life. Okay? So all of you are alive and breathing and have a strong spiritual sense of, I love you, Mom, wherever she is. And change your schedules so that that woman can feel valued and appreciated. You change, not your mom. You change. That's my word. And if that's a phone call later, go for it if she's out of state or something. If your mom has passed on, you have memories, and this might be challenging, you know, Mother's Day, or you had a tough mom who you feel yelled at you or put you down or didn't give you what you needed. Yeah. God says, I take all that pain out. I'm going to give you eyes to see your mom, the lens to see your mom as I see her, and forgive her deeply and love her, whether she's here or not. Yeah? Yeah. So I would like to take this moment. From my heart of love for you two ladies representing the women in this house and the next generation, you are amazing spiritual daughters in this house to me, who have loved me, who have blessed me, who have encouraged me, who have strengthened me, who have shown me that you care about my life and you care about sacrificing your lives to bless me, to honor me, whether it fit into your schedule, whether it fit into your liking, whether it fit into your world. And so I thank you for that. I really do. And I want to honor you, and there's much more I could say, and it's not just too many of you. But from my place as mom in this house, senior mom in this house, with all kinds of moms, I want to bless you, and I say go for it. And you be the woman you were created to be. As a mom, as a wife, loving your husband and your children as you do, and loving your mothers and those in your family who've stood and have released life for you, to you. And I say, there will be people who will rise up in this world because they don't understand the beautiful one. And they will inadvertently maybe attempt to hold you down. And you will never be held down. You will be the fullness of who you were created to be as a woman in the kingdom of God. And that's with great humility, but with great power and great strength, one who knows her place. Her place in the home, her place in the church, her place in the kingdom. And I'm speaking this to all of us in here, but I'm facing these two ladies. And I say to you that as the next generation who will continue to carry the baton of love, you will raise up those in the nations who will sing out to the beautiful one with a smile in their heart, not with grief, not with hurt, not with anxiety, with power and anointing, because you will see that the call on their life is to share Jesus, to make disciples of all nations, to go to the ends of the earth in the fullness of what the call is on their life that they can have, that they would reach the full potential, whether you ever have a girl or not reach. And we know we have girls covered. But spiritual daughters, hopefully your natural children, at least over here, but spiritual daughters with that. And there shall be such a tight bond that people will rise up and call you blessed. Your children will rise up. Spiritual children, natural children will rise up and honor you on this day, but the days of their life for where they have been put in the scheme of God's creation. That's important. And these are words of life. These are words of destiny. And I expect in this house that there will be a breaking free and a breaking loose of women in their giftings and their callings and their anointings. Yeah. Way beyond. Oh, that's just Rachel. That's just Cynthia or whoever it is. So as I have shared a little bit of my personal life, very little, you know, coming from a mom who is laying in her later years in a very serious way in her bed in the middle of the living room, the very sick father, but she's here, and I looked at her and I thought, you look so different. You can't do any of the things you did before at all. And now I'm taking care of you. I'm a blessed woman. But my mother did not reach the spiritual potential at this point in her life that perhaps the God would have for her. It's not over yet, but she's elderly, very frail. But at the same time, we contend for the most and the best. Yeah? So I say to you in this house that what we're going to do, it's different today. And it just came to me today as I release these blessings of love over you. I want to thank you and praise God for your lives, for how you've modeled him. And you've been blessed, very blessed. And I know that there are those in the house. I want to give these to you. And again, we don't call anybody a token, but they represent the women in this house. So we can't have all the women up at the same time. It'd knock us over. But what I would like to do in here is I'm going to invite the women up here, all of us. And I know there are women in here who do not have children, and women who are waiting for children, women who've had children who have been snatched away early, who've gone home to be with the Lord before them. There are women in here who are waiting for a spouse to have the children. There are some who may have had abortions in here. It's possible. And that you live with that, or perhaps you released a child for adoption or whatever, but that child that came from you or is going to come from you is not present in your life at this moment in a tangible way. Yeah. So you think, well, which category do I fit in? I'm happy, I've got kids, and my mom is good and all of that. Good. You can come up and get a rose. God bless you. But we're also inviting all the women up here, the rest of us. And I'm going to pray over everybody, and I'm going to ask Rachel and Cynthia to distribute the roses to the women who are waiting and who are hopeful for what God will do. Maybe it's the restoration of a family member. Maybe it's a restoration of a child relationship. Maybe it's restoration even with your mom. Maybe it's restoration. Maybe it's waiting to get married to have a child. Whatever it is, whatever feels as though I can't embrace this whole Mother's Day thing entirely because here's what's happened in my life. But the Lord doesn't look at it that way. He sees the beginning from the end. And what we are going to do is bless the women in this house. Because I've never been more reminded than this past 2 weeks of how vital it is for women to know what their place is in the kingdom of God. And in this region, that will be seen through your lives. Yeah, because you are lionesses in the kingdom. The Lord says, come and receive a token of my love for you. So come, come. Just come up. All the women, just gather around here. I'm just going to ask these women to come right now. Christy. They didn't know I was going to do this. But, you know, that's how it is. Just come on up here. You are amazing. I don't even know how many roses we have. We're good. Praise God. Let's get them all up here. All the women. Come on, you guys. Everyone. I see a couple women back there. I know you. Come on up. We have everybody? Yeah. This is good. Can we all pull in? Pull in. We're part of a family. Everybody pull in here. This may be your first rose. How about that? On a Mother's Day. But you know what? This is how you're valued. Come on in. And I want you to grab an arm next to you. Grab a hand. Grab a finger. Grab an elbow. Yeah. We have some little girls back here. If you're a mom and you're up here, do you have your little girls with you? Come on, girls. I see females in the house. Come on up here. This is for you. Okay, guys, you're by yourself. This is all right. Come on. Luke. Is there anybody else? Oh, come on, Calderheads. We call you up. Come on up, sweeties. You are just as valuable. Come on. Yeah. Now you have to help me. Be my eyes, ladies. Do you see anything else? This is woman power in the right way. In the right way. Come on, sweetheart. That's it. Hi. Father, I just thank you for the privilege of standing with these women. These little women to be, these little world changers growing up. These women here who have birthed children. Women here who have not. Women here who are contending to birth or to receive a child. Whatever the situation might be, God, we know that they're women of promise. And on this Mother's Day, Lord, I am here as a woman of God, your child, your daughter, to share the mother-father heart of God. And I thank you, Lord, for the powerful anointing in this house for women to rise in a way of humility and virtue and promise and fullness of destiny to step in without hesitation to what the Lord says belongs to you. And that's not in rebellion. That's not against his principles. This is to step in and say, I am everything that you have created me to be, and I will walk in that, and nothing will stop me and hinder me. Nothing. Nothing. Those are powerful words. And if we believe that, the fruit of this prayer and this release of flowers will really look different. I think next year at this time, you will be very amazed. Somebody's getting a picture of this. And it's important. Because I got this idea, I believe, from the Lord. Not from a book or anything else. Just heard it in my spirit. Barb? Barb is the oldest woman in this house. Come with me. Come in the over here. Come here. Who's the youngest one and the youngest female in this house? Naomi. Come here, Naomi. Riley's not here. Okay. Can you hold Naomi? Can she hold Naomi? Is that okay? Here you go. Are you steady enough there, woman of God? Okay. You might get this. Is it okay? Yeah, that's good. All right. Now we're going to extend our hands out here, and then you're going to get your flowers. See what God does here. Because we're going to be babies born this year. There's going to be weddings coming up. There are going to be all kinds of things that are going to come from this. A lot of fruit from this. Father, we recognize what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord God, that the fruit of what you have decided for this body of family, this family of believers, Lord God, from the oldest to the youngest, God, is in your court, is in your hand, Father, and that nothing will be able to rise up and disintegrate it, pull it apart, interrupt what you have planned for the kingdom destiny in this house. I thank you, Lord, for the oldest one to the youngest one. Lord, the very DNA of what it means to be a godly woman, what it means to be a woman who carries the torch of Jesus Christ to the nations in prayer or action, whatever it would be. We thank you, God, that that's the destiny on this house, the destiny in these lives. And I thank you, Lord God, that there shall be such a rising that the men will say, whoa, what is going on here? But they will rise also because we're doing what God says and we're doing what the Word of God says. And we desire to live supernatural lives. We desire to live in wholeness and fullness without regret. We decide to live without any kind of pain in our life that is holding us back, because we're releasing it to you, Lord, that we're giving it up to you, and that we're putting you as the beautiful one, not just in our mouth, not just with our feet, but in our hearts, to the degree that you've given us, for the anointing is strong in this house for women to rise. And the Lord says that as women rise, Father, that it would be an appropriation for the men of God in this house to link arms, to link hearts in such a way that there's going to be power that emanates from this body. So I thank you, Lord God, for the divinely connection for husbands to come to the women here who are waiting and contending, where there's been any disappointment or regret, we break it off. Father, anybody who's been waiting for any type of childbearing to come, for whatever reason, they've not married or that hasn't come, whatever it would be, Father, we declare an end to barrenness, and we thank you for the fruit of your womb. We thank you, oh God, for the belief that we have, God, that in your house is many mansions, and that you're preparing us, God, to live with that eternal concept in mind, to live in eternity right now so we can take our place. We thank you, Lord, for the extension of what you're doing, the long life that you give us, oh God, long life for Barbara down to Naomi, and for the future offspring beyond this, that we can look ahead and we can thank you for the hope that you're releasing in us right now. Thank you for the adopted ones coming into this fellowship. Thank you for the new life coming into this fellowship from the fruit of the wombs in here and the ones to come. And we thank you, God, for all the new marriages. And we thank you for the new love. We thank you for the new birthing. We thank you for the new life and all that you've done before. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're going to run this race in full belief that nothing will hold us back. Thank you, Lord, for complete restoration of all relationships, family dynamics, any other type of situation where there has been grief, or there's been torment, or there's been division. We bring an end to that, and we say, thank you, God. Thank you. Can we just praise the name of Jesus? Thank him for this. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to ask Sin and Rage to give the flowers to everybody. Everybody around, and just be blessed. Be blessed. This is for you, and we pray that you will appreciate this flower as a gift from God to say you're beautiful, and what you have, what's coming to you, is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you love this? And we may be a small group today. Mother's Day is kind of weird. Sometimes it's overflowing. Sometimes everybody scatters to go wherever. Mom is, I guess. But today, I believe that you're representing something very special, and you men are able to see this. And when things are done in order biblically, do you know that husbands and sons will rise? Because that's where humility comes in, not this fake religious stuff, but the fullness of who you've been created to be. I praise God, I have a husband who does release me, if you will, into the fullness of who I am. But there are many in this region. That's not the case, but it is here. So you're blessed. You're blessed. So I call forth the new relationships and the new marriages, the new beginnings that are coming in this house, in your way and in your time, God, in fullness. Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy One. Shake. How, you know, this kind of feels good, doesn't it? Yes.
The picture that I saw was that when I opened my eyes, instead of us...
I think Mary has a word. She saw something. So let's let her say that.
I just saw, instead of a single row of women, there was like a double and a triple and a quadruple. I mean, it's just the circle just kept getting bigger and thicker.
That's because all these spiritual mamas here in the making, and some already are, taking their place, and it's going to happen. It's spiritual fathers. And God says, I will multiply. I have called you here for such a time as this, to hear this and to be blessed. I don't know if anybody else is doing this in the nation. I really don't care. But this is what he told me to do. So I honor you in the name of Jesus. You are so beautiful and special. And do we have enough flowers? Look at that. For all the little girls? Oh, that's great. Did you get one, Ellie? You didn't? That's great. Oh, thank you. Wow. I get flowers too. How fun. Thank you. Wow. Can we sing Beautiful One? Come on. Let's just give the Lord a clap offering. Hey, let's move up here. Let's worship the Lord. You are the beautiful one. This is amazing. And guys, get ready because the fireworks are beginning in your homes and here. These women are rising in a place that's healthy, in a place that's honoring. Yeah. Be encouraged and strengthened. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you all very much, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I love you. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to see what God's doing with you. Love you forever.
That's crazy. Thank you. Thank you, too. We just give him a hug.
Okay, I think I have to bug out to see. Yes, I have to leave, so I want to get this announcement in. My parents need help right now, so I have to go. But thank you. I've not seen this flyer. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Can I just add a really quick voice to this? This is for everybody. This is for the whole church. This is a big deal. So it's a Saturday. We're asking you to come and bring your family, bring your kids, and we're going to have some amazing things here that have a lot to do with the very DNA of who we are, what we're doing, okay? It's an evangelism rally, but there are some things that you're going to hear that are pretty darn cool, that are new, actually. We're just like, wow, that God, you're doing this, and we are not sharing them right now, but it's a big deal. It's not just... Oh, yeah, we've done that. We've gone downtown before. Oh, yeah, we've gone overseas. Not that we should ever be like that. But there's something God's doing right now that I really think ties into what we did up here. I hadn't thought about that till right now. But it's all together. And also, I think this week, if I'm not mistaken, the Summers are showing the Heidi Baker video. What day is that? Go over to their house on Wednesday if you can. It'll pack you in. Is there anybody else this week, or is that... Christie's is Thursday, Summer's is Wednesday. Guys, this is really cool. And I know we're moving in the right way. I got a text this morning as I walked out of my parents' house about 7:30 this morning from Heidi Baker. It's like, well, that was encouraging. Thank you. Really sweet, nice text. And I was just smiling going, oh, yeah. So take advantage of this time, okay? There's more to it. If you saw it and you went, that's a nice video, go to another house, see it again. Because there's a lot of depth to it. I don't think anybody said that, but. And then I want to say something I heard last night. I want to share this real quickly. I was Skyping with Inez from Brazil, and she's the one that heads up Frontline Brazil and also works with Pastor Jerseo with Casa de Jesus, Iris Ministries, over in Sao Paulo. So she's, you know, friend of the house. She says, tell everyone I said hello and I love them. I said, okay, I will. So she loves you. But what she wanted me to tell you was that things are really, in a good way, escalating in Cidade de Deus, and that's the favela or the community that she's overseeing. And when we first started going to Brazil, we started in Heliopolis, which is a couple miles away. But they're kind of working somewhat in tandem. But what's going on in Cidade de Deus is explosive. Things are happening where these little 2 and 3-year-olds are just worshiping God, getting lost in the presence of God. Angels are coming. They're having experiences with God. 2, 3, 4, 5. And she says it's increasing. And she said it's phenomenal. And I said, okay, this is awesome. I'll share that. And she said that the mothers, they had a Mother's Day thing for a lot of the mothers in the community. And they're starting to come and be drawn to the presence. And things are happening. But this is the kicker. This is something they've never had before. After they have their Saturday outreaches, you know, with the kids and all of that, and we'll tell you more about our part in that really soon, something to tell you about. You're going to be, I believe, excited about. It's coming very soon. They're the people, the team, maybe 5 to 7 people, you know, depending on the day, they're praying afterwards, after the kids and all of that. So they're just worshiping the Lord in the slum, in the favela, where all the drugs are going on. The drug dealers, a couple weeks ago, came and were drawn to the worship. And they came in and they said, please don't tell any of our guys that we're here. Yeah, but we love it. I don't know what the response was, you know, probably one of these, like, oh, okay. But they're still, you know, they're still going back, but the worship drew them. And then my understanding is yesterday they came with a little pin drive and said, can you put your worship, huh? Well, she called it pin drive, so flash drive, we would call it flash drive, pin drive. Could you please put your worship on this so we don't have to basically come here, but we can take it back to our places. These are not just the guys buying the stuff. These are the drug lords, or the drug leaders, and the ones who are selling the drugs. It's a big deal. So the worship is rising. The kids are experiencing. And, oh, one more thing. She said that there is this one young man. He's 11 or 12. She goes, I don't understand it. I mean, these kids live in squalor. They live in basically a lot of aspects hell on earth, you know, with the different things. There's kids in this room, so different things that are going on there. But there's this one kid. She says, I don't understand it. God just seems to have this bubble around him, and he just keeps coming, and he wants to help, but he goes back to all of the abuse and all of the stuff. And she said, it's just amazing that God's targeting these little kids, and he's doing it through worship and through the expression of the word. So now, not only have the kids been receiving this, but now it's heading into the area that the Lord seemed to promise. Isn't that cool? Can we just say amen and thank you, God, for that? Oh, children, goodbye to kingdom land.
All right. That was cool. I guess so. Lawrence is singing to the children in the hallway. That's always a good sign. Thank you, Father. We bless your name today, your name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that you are Lord. God, we need you as Lord. You're the one that brings the freedom to our lives. You're the one that brings the joy to our lives. You bring the empowering through Holy Spirit to our lives. We open ourselves to you during this time together, this short time together, Lord. And we ask that your name would be lifted up in our midst, as they say in Ghana, in our midst. Father, we thank you, God, that you're here in our midst. We need you every minute for everything. Bless your name. You are the one we follow. You are the one teaching us. We know that. We receive your teaching to our hearts today, wide open hearts, to what you have to share with us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor Mary Pat, we didn't get a chance to talk because she left in the middle of the night to go attend to her mom and dad. We had a worker that didn't show up or something, and so she's been up all night, and she came in here to see you. That shows you how much you're loved. But we didn't get a chance to even talk about what was going to go on this morning, but it's interesting how the Holy Spirit brings it all to the same page. Because I was trying to figure out, how do I extend it to the daughters in the house, what I want to say today, when it's Mother's Day, you know, Mother's Day. How do I go ahead and extend it to the other women in the house, what I have to say? Last Mother's Day that I spoke on Galatians 3:28, at least that was part of it. And basically, there's no male or female. Now, there's no slave or free. You know, it can be slave or free, no male or female in the kingdom. When you get to heaven, you know you're not going to have a gender. You're going to remember that you were a guy or a gal down here, but you're not going to have a gender. Not really. Not in any practical way. So that's going to be interesting. God has no gender, even though we call him he. He's a spirit. Powerful spirit. So we kind of get hung up on gender things. And so I was hoping that every Mother's Day that I get a chance to speak, that I would be able to allow the women to be what God has always intended them to be. When there is a women's conference overseas, the men typically say, it's the women's conference. I say, let's go to those men. They say, well, why? It's a women's conference. Because there's no male or female. We need the teaching. We need to learn. We need to grow. So if it's called a women's conference, I want to speak. So I volunteered to speak for women's conferences. Because, you know, and they should be allowed to speak. When Pastor Mary Pat goes over, she speaks to the men. Now, you're going to find some things in the New Testament you're going to say, and a couple gals brought this to me a couple weeks ago. They said, what's going on here? It says we're supposed to be silent in church. And I'm not silent in church, they said. Oh, we're supposed to be covered in. I'm not wearing anything on top of my head when I walk into church. No other female is. What's going on? What's that all about? I said, if you take anything in Scripture out of context, then you're going to be in trouble, aren't you? Anything. If you don't see the rest of the context of Scripture. So in the Old Testament, were there powerful women? Yes. Were they released to do what they were supposed to do? Yes. Did they save the nation in the case of Esther and others? Yes. We're going to talk about one of those women today shortly. Are there powerful women in the New Testament? Aquila and Priscilla. Priscilla's the girl. They were married. They had to straighten out a guy by the name of Apollos. Apollos was going to be a powerful apostle, and God used a couple to minister to them, not just Aquila. but Priscilla as well. And I don't know if you've noticed in the Bible, but the Bible is very specific. It started out when Barnabas and Paul were together. Barnabas's name came first. Barnabas, the encourager, getting Paul going, introducing Paul to the leaders, you know, helping Paul. Then there came a time where it became Paul and Barnabas. Paul came first. What happened? His gifting shone out so much that God intentionally put him first when the names were listed. It switched. Interesting. So in the Bible, you'll notice it's Priscilla and Aquila, not Aquila and Priscilla. Interesting. If we were to take what happened with Barnabas's and Paul's name, just very simply, Priscilla seems to be the more gifted one. Now, you might say, well, that's a stretch. Okay, then tell Barnabas that. Tell Paul that. Because their names got switched. Check it out. So if Priscilla was involved in straightening out Apollos, that goes against some of the things that Paul said. What was going on? How many know that Paul ran into problems with some of the early churches? How many know that we run into problems today? There have been people in the last 2 years that have been divisive. Body. And guess what? They're not allowed to speak. We don't announce it to all of you, who's allowed to speak and who isn't allowed to speak. But I'll just tell you straight up, they aren't allowed to speak. Women, Paul says, aren't allowed to speak. What's he talking about? Women? When in the New Testament it says, let all prophesy. And it said, these four daughters, I believe, of Philip are prophetesses. Prophetesses. Why not just call them prophets, but prophetesses. Wait a minute. There were four, and the Bible puts it in there, four daughters that were prophets out of just Philip's family. And the Bible writes it down and puts it in there, but Paul says, women, be silent. Learn only from your husbands at home. And all the things we know about. Puts a covering on your head. What's happening? He's talking about divisive women. Can we just agree on that? If not, check it out. Divisive women. There were women in Ephesus, women in Corinth that were causing problems. Guess what? There were men too. And he silenced them. In one case, he delivered some to Satan. Do you understand that? I don't. But he did when they were divisive. The men delivered them to Satan. The women were just told to be silent. Let your husband kind of teach you. At home. What was that all about? Women were not taught anything. They weren't allowed to be under the rabbis. You get over there and make the soup. Go over there somewhere. Mother or not. Go over there somewhere. But you're not going to be taught. Only the men. So there was a breaking of all traditions here. When you read about marriage in Ephesians 5, keep that in mind. That there's a breaking of all kinds of male-dominated traditions. It's a new day. When you read in Galatians 3:28, no more male or female, don't just read past that. That means you, in your gender, women of God, are empowered by the Holy Spirit in all the giftings that the Holy Spirit brings. Now, some have stronger giftings in this area and stronger giftings in that area. But if there were four prophetesses of one guy, and he was a pretty powerful guy, Philip the evangelist. And they mention them, God is trying to say something. If they mention that Deborah is a judge in the Old Testament, Esther saved the nation in the Old Testament, powerful women in the New Testament, what's God's heart? That's what you need to ask. To keep a gender down or to raise a gender up. To let them know you are going to be fully empowered by Holy Spirit just like any male. And so you might think, well, Bill and Mary Pat Gokey, they are an anomaly. I mean, how many churches do you go to that both take the podium, both speak, both do marriages together? How many places have you been that that's actually happened? Not just the title, this is the pastor, and this is the pastor. And then she plays the piano. And does women's, you know, gatherings and children. How many places do you go that there's a man and a woman teaching everyone? This is not an anomaly. This is the prototype. This is the way it's supposed to be in the New Testament. And a few folks have missed it. When we go overseas, they've missed it because they've been taught, many of them, by their own traditions or by Westerners. Oh, women are supposed to be silent in the church, so don't let them speak before a man. Don't let them take any authority over a man. And don't let them ever be in a place where they counsel. Oh, man, that's no, 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 no. They haven't met Pastor Mary Pat. And when they do, some of them are shaking in their knees. I'm telling you, the men, why? Oops, one got out of the bag. Oops, how did this happen? Oh, I get it. Pastor Bill is really weak. She's out of order. Pastor Bill is really weak. You should hear some of our discussions at home when we try to get the Holy Spirit's page together. And I have said, you are empowered to be all you're supposed to be. And then in that moment, I wish I hadn't said that so much. In public. In different nations. Because she actually acts like it. And has something to say in Holy Spirit. And beyond that, Pastor Bill knows that Pastor Bill was kind of a religious guy back in the day when I met Pastor Mary Pat. And she kept saying to me something that I always use in the grid when I think about spiritual things. Is this God's heart? Is this what Jesus is like? That should determine what we do. Well, I match up some of the things Paul says, and it doesn't fit Jesus' heart. Jesus hung out with a lot of women. Now, don't take that wrong, and don't put that on YouTube. He hung out with a lot of females and empowered them. Last week we heard about the woman at the well, right? He's not supposed to be talking to a woman. He's not supposed to be talking to a Samaritan. A Samaritan woman, that's a double no-no. He's a rabbi. He's not supposed to be even near a woman, touch a woman. And then he says, how about a drink to start the conversation? She has to hand him that drink of water. She has to be close to him. And the women were drawn to him because he was a mold breaker. When he would act like he did with the woman who had the demonized daughter, like the men of his day, he acted a part there. If you read it carefully, he turns his back on her. As she asks him her request, he actually seems to turn his back. He ignored her. That's not Jesus' heart. Come on. But he did it. Jesus always knew who was watching. He knew the woman would break through in faith, but these other guys, they were cheering. I'm telling you, when he turned his back on her. You shouldn't be talking to a woman, Jesus. Finally, you're acting like a rabbi. Finally, you're the way we want you to be. And then he talks about her being from the wrong side of the tracks. Only the bread should be given to the children. And she comes back with, even the little dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. This wasn't about a loaf of bread and crumbs. This was about a woman with a demonized daughter that knew Jesus' heart. If we know Jesus' heart, we know he's going to respond to her request. Even if he acts like the men of the day and they start cheering and he dismisses her. Oh, you're a Samaritan. Oh, you don't even belong. Yes, finally, Jesus is acting like Jesus is supposed to. He's a rabbi. Shouldn't be giving her the time of day. She's a woman. She's a Samaritan. She's out of order. All she did was press through to Jesus' heart, and he rewarded her. And they must have gone. We don't get the reaction of what the disciples did, but they must have went, what? You're commending her? You're meeting her need? We don't get you, man. We liked it when you were religious, when you were pushing her away, when you were ignoring her, when you were saying, you're of the little dogs. We like that Jesus. He had to break a whole mold of the way things were to be across gender lines, across slave and free lines. Had to break all the molds, but he did it with truth. He didn't do it with marches. He didn't do it politically. He did it spiritually. Some of the disciples wanted him to do it politically. Hey, let's rise up against this government. Don't worry. There's a kingdom that's over it that I serve, and a king who is my father. And the Father's love will take care of it. Why don't we get some swords out? Let's get some shields and swords. Let's go. Don't worry about it. This kingdom's not even gonna last. The Romans, where are they today? Yeah. The Roman Empire fell apart. Who was right? The disciples or Jesus? He's just very patient. He didn't have to do it today. It wasn't 9-1-1. We got to get rid of the Roman Empire. Just wait a little bit. A couple centuries, they're gone. Well, maybe more than a couple, but. But in the meantime, it becomes the official faith of the Roman Empire. How did that happen? Constantine just declared it. They were throwing them in arenas. They were eating, lions were eating the saints up and everything else. And suddenly it becomes the official faith of the Roman Empire. Now they had a little, you know, they weren't exactly very pure on that, but incredible how Jesus knew his kingdom would take over, even politically it took over for a bit. So when we see God's heart, when we see the heart of Jesus, you don't see gender lines. Now you see roles, important roles for males and females. And those are important today, aren't they? Very important. That a man's a man and a woman's a woman. And they know what they are. And they act like it. That's important. Lots of people need strong examples, not shaky examples. But spiritually, that whole spirit will be overcome. Spiritually. Just like the Roman Empire. Overcome. Spiritually. It's an afterthought. Oh, well, we've got all these good things from the Roman Empire. Yeah, aqueducts and some nice roads. Most of the rest of the stuff they believed and did, a little shaky. You know, let's put a tyrant at the top of our government and Everybody else bow to him as if he's God. Not such a great thing, after all. I'm far afield here. We need to get back. So, Joel 2:28. If you want to follow along, you can. I'm not going to wait for you. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also, on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. In Acts 2:16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross changed everything. Everything. And it opened up this possibility to start in Acts. When he came back from the dead, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit started not long after he went to heaven. And God poured it out on who? The men, right, in the upper room? All. Anyone that came up into the upper room. And then 3,000 came to Christ in one day as Peter preached. Were those all men? Of course not. So this was a turning point. It's supposed to fly in the face of anything that the world comes up with. I don't know if you've traveled much, but almost everywhere in the world it's male dominated. So anything the world has, we should probably question. If they have that as the system, we should probably question it, because it's usually off. Freedom means do anything you want in the world. Is that what it means in the kingdom? Absolutely not. Freedom means if you obey God, you're more free than you ever could be. Well, wait a minute. I want to be a rebellious person. Well, then the world's for you. Because in the kingdom, obedience brings you freedom. That doesn't make sense to me. That's why you need Holy Spirit inside of you. Because things don't make any sense unless you have the Spirit teaching you everything and reminding you of the things Jesus taught. Because it's an upside down kingdom. Most things don't match with the world. And when they do match, then it's like a blind squirrel finding a nut. They found some nut of truth. And they hung on to it. Hey, I found one. But we have the whole tree through Jesus. Think about it. So it started pouring out on all flesh. Maidservants, men servants, sons, daughters. And so why would we hold it up in the church? But the church is guilty of holding it up. Well, they might become feminists. We don't want feminists, because feminists say men are bad. They're no good. Get rid of them. I don't need to marry any, even though most of them married men. The ones that wrote the books. That's a perversion. Just as much as keeping women down. It's an extreme. It's off. But men and women, empowered by the Holy Spirit, trying to figure out how they work together, say in marriage or in the church, see how that can work powerfully. And we've seen it here in this building, on the mission field, in this county, anywhere we go, we're seeing men and women powered by the Spirit of God speaking out, and we're not thinking, oh, well, she's a woman, maybe I should speak, you know, before she does. There's no line where the men are at the front and the women are at the back. There's no second-class citizens in this body. That's not our desire, and we're still trying to figure everything out, how it works. And in marriage, how it works. But I'm telling you one thing, that we're going to watch what God does to be a prototype everywhere we go. Because India needs this. There are powerful women in India that are being held back from being all they could be in the spirit. We want to see them released everywhere we go. We want to see them released. We saw more joy and more releasing in the women on this trip than I've seen in all the trips I've taken to India. That's a good thing. And we're not the only ones doing it. Somehow they're catching it. They know there's a, you know, labor pains are coming towards the, you know, happening towards the coming back of Christ, and the earth just seems to know, we've got to release our women. We can't get this job done alone. The Christian men are starting to feel it. They're still a little shaky about it, but they're starting to feel the labor pains. We can't do this alone. Look at the earth. There's so many people that need Jesus. We can't just do this alone. And that was never God's intention. In Africa, it's the same way. We have been telling the people that we go to, along with the powerful full gospel, the joy of Jesus, the wonder of being a son or daughter of the Most High, we've been saying, and you've got to let your women lead. You've got some powerful women. Let them speak. Let them sing. Let them minister to people. And we're making headway. And so are other ministries that feel the same way. Heidi Baker, Rollin Baker are tearing it up in many countries in Africa. Another prototype couple. Heidi Baker is a pretty strong, Priscilla, okay? She's a Priscilla. Mary Pat Gokey is a Priscilla. I'm telling you, I live with her at home. She's powerful at home, not just here. When I need healing, first place I go is my wife. Well, God. And then I go to my wife. And we work together, the three of us. And I get healing. So you do it the way you want to do it, but I'm going to get healing. I'm going to be around a long time because she's going to live till she's 120 if I just ride her coattails. Think of that. If I just get healing from her all the time, I'll keep up with her. Smart. You know, smart in the spirit. So, let's go to where I really want to talk because I don't want to keep you all day like I usually do. Let's go to the book of Judges, of all places. Judges 4, we're going to be talking about a couple of women here, powerful, powerful women. There you are, looking for that sheet. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Children of Israel need strong mothers and fathers in the spirit, as Pastor Mary Pat was talking about earlier today. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Hardname. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Jabin was the bad guy. Let's keep it simple. Now, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, was judging Israel at the time. Prophetess, judge. Whoa. How'd that happen in this day without Holy Spirit being poured out? Doesn't really explain it. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came to her for judgment. She's got her own tree. Deborah tree. Hey, just go up to the Deborah tree and see what Deborah says. Old Testament. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops, Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." Now this is news to Barak. She said, "Didn't the Lord say?" And he's like, What did the Lord say? I don't know. I don't know what the Lord said. You're the prophetess. You're the judge. And she just gives a prophecy. Boom! Like that. She calls him in. Barak, get over here. Gives a prophecy to him. Didn't the Lord say? And you know, you can just see him going, you're the judge. You got your own tree. You're a prophetess. You're a judge of Israel. There's only one of you. Only one woman that's ever achieved this. I'm listening to you because God put you in this place. And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Huh? She gives a prophecy, and he's like, "I might need an extra word or two when I actually get into the battle, because this is overwhelming odds. You're sending us with 10,000, but we're going against a multitude with 900 chariots. Just, you know, that's just their side army, the 900 chariots. We have how many chariots? Probably zero. And it's overwhelming numbers. So here the army commander, "Hey, girly, come along with me. Please, your highness, your prophetess, your judgeship, come with me. The favor of God is on you. We might need further instructions for the battle." A woman on the battlefield. So she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So she says to him, "If I go with you, the men aren't going to get the credit. God and the men aren't going to get the credit. It's going to be a woman." You get that, right? It's going to be a woman that gets the credit along with God. If I go with you, you could get the credit, win the victory, and they'd say, "Oh yeah, the men did it, man. They took over. They won the victory against the enemy. As usual, we men have our pride." It's legendary. The male pride. We even put our noses in the air when we talk about it, because it's God. We pretty much like to keep the nose up there. You know, with God, we tip it, you know, and we go down to the floor and we worship him. But otherwise, we got a little bit of a male pride in us, you know. Hey, like to win the battle, like to, you know, show off for the girls or whatever. And so this woman just lays it out there. She's a judge. She's a prophetess. She just tells him, the boys aren't going to get the credit. What do you think about that, Barack? Please, come with me. Come with me. Somehow, your favor, your wisdom, you're hearing from God, I believe it, and you've got to go with me to the battle. I don't care whether the men get the male pride satisfied or not. We have to win this battle. You can hear him in his own thoughts going, geez, can't we just have a regular judge? Why do I have to have the Deborah Tree judge? But he didn't hesitate. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Male pride, he swallowed it. Now Heber, the Kenite of the children of Hobah, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zananim, which is beside Kadesh. And they reported to Sisera, and Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up! Oh, who's leading the charge? It's a good thing he took her along. Up! For this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? That's when the military commander moved. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his cotton-picking army, says it right here, with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. The guy that had put them under the thumb for decades fled. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army so far as... I already said that. No, I didn't. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as that place and that place. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, Kenite. Now, both these women were married. You know, it wasn't like Deborah was a single person. She was married. And her husband obviously let her have her own judging tree, her own, prophetic ministry. He wasn't holding her back, and it didn't end their marriage. We don't hear of any distress here. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Hey, military leader running from a woman-led army. Come over here. Got a tent for you right here. Come on in, Sisera. Mr. Military guy running. Here's a place of refuge for you. Here's a blanket, too. Then he said to her, she's acting like a woman, let me be hospitable to you. Oh, good, this is the way a woman should act. Give me a blanket, give me a tent, keep me safe, warm. Please give me a little water to drink. He's getting into it. For I am thirsty. Water, he asked for. So she opened a jug of milk. Gave him a drink and covered him. Uh-oh, he should have known right then. He's a man, he asked for water, she gives him milk. Something's up, but he didn't get the clue. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there any man here? You shall say no. And by the way, why didn't I get water? I asked for water. Well, he didn't say that, but he had to be wondering. I ask you, woman, for water. You give me milk. Well, we'll let that go. But if anyone comes to the door of this tent, any man here? No. That's what you're supposed to say. He's a military commander. He's just commanding a woman, no big deal. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him. "I'll bring you another blanket, Sisera. How about a little more milk? I'm a very hospitable woman, you know. Let you come into the tent. When my husband wasn't here, I let you come into the tent. I'm coming a little softly to you here. Moving in, you know. Never know. Never know what might happen there, Sisera. You're a pretty powerful military guy. Ordering people around all the time. Ordering me around. No, no, no. If anybody comes to the tent." Took a tent peg, took a hammer in her hand, and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Woo! And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." She didn't listen. She was supposed to say, "No, there's no one here." Instead, she shows him into the tent. "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. And if you were to read through chapter 5, Deborah and Barak sing worship together. Now, Deborah is married to someone else, but he's the military commander. She's the judge and prophetess. And they sing worship to God over what just took place. Together. A song. Deborah's song. And it goes on for verses and verses and verses and verses and verses. And it tells all about it, even the death of Sisera through Jael. Jael gets involved. There's worship to God over what God has accomplished through these two women leaders and the military commander that was smart enough to realize God can speak through any gender. And what's it say at the very end of chapter 5? So the land had rest for 40 years. 40 years of rest. It had been constant from this evil king after them, using the military might to keep them in trouble all the time. And two women leaders step up, do what God tells them to do. The enemy's defeated. The enemy's done for 40 years. Conquers this massive army and the king that was in charge of it. What's the lesson? Today is a new day in the church. If this can happen in the Old Testament, and God is going to more and more and more pour out his spirit on sons and daughters, men servants and maid servants, we are releasing you, mothers, daughters of the Most High, to be who you are intended to be. So this is not an anomaly here at Frontline. This is not something that's going to change. If Pastor Mary Pat and I pass on to heaven, it's not going to change, because there are men here that will take it and say, "Everyone in this house is released." They're not going to grab control again and take over. They're going to be wise like Barak and say, "There are people empowered here that are women, and they are prophetesses. They're powerful in the spirit. They're evangelists. There's preachers. There's all kinds of giftings within the women here that are going to help win the world for Jesus. We need both genders to do it. And we need to let other nations know when we go there, this is what we believe is best. And believe me, there's persecution with that. Your pastor, Mary Pat, undergoes persecution for just standing up as a woman, leader in this community, in the nations. There are places, people that stand against that. And it happened to the women in the New Testament as this was released to them even more than it was in the Old Testament. And they stepped up. Many of them were martyred as the church went forward. And some of them were martyred by the church. Burned at the stake. There's a book I'm reading that goes through the women that were burned at the stake, that were, you know, all kinds of crazy things that they did to them. And it was the church of that day doing it. I don't think it was the real church, but it was the official institutionalized church that was doing it. But somehow, God has preserved that truth until this day. And when the Spirit is more and more poured out, you need to receive it, men and women, and allow those in this body and those we come into contact with, even if they're from other bodies and they have no clue what we're talking about, we have to gently release this to them. Now, you hear me saying it strongly here. This is our house. But when I talk to someone one-on-one about this, I'm very gentle, kind of let them know, Pastor Mary Pat and I, we look at ourselves as equal leaders here. She lets me be the chairman of the board, even though I say to her, why don't you be the chairman this time? You know, why don't you be the president of FMI? And she always says, oh, no, I'll be the vice president. That's fine. No, you can do that. You can be the president. No, that's okay. I mean, she's offered that. And, you know, she doesn't need to be that to be a powerful woman. She doesn't care about position. She cares about receiving from the Lord and being a prophetess, being a prophet, being an apostle to the nations, and released to do that. And I have said it here before. I've learned so much from her. And what's interesting is that it used to be when we first got to know one another, I was like, I don't believe this woman. She is out of this world. And I thought I was pretty good on, you know, releasing women to be who they were supposed to be. But she pushed me a lot farther. Not because she was pushing me, but just because of who she was. I'm like, I thought I was radical. I did jail ministry. I had Bible studies. I did evangelism. I took care of children and preached at camps for children. I mean, I did it all, A to Z, you know, all age groups, all different kinds of people in different ministry. And then I meet her. She's like on steroids for Jesus. And I was like, what? How in the world did she get to this point? I thought she must have gone through a lot of persecution for being this way. Because I knew men. You know, I knew some men. Had some men friends, and they didn't feel that way, that they, a woman should be released like that. I was probably the star, you know, in their midst of letting women be released. And I had a lot to learn. But the things she said to me early on about the Holy Spirit, I knew she knew him better than I did. That's challenging to the male ego. That's challenging to the Christian ego. Feeling you really are after Jesus, and she knows Holy Spirit better? Wait a minute. I want to know him better then. And then, you know, she's telling me about, well, you know, the gift of tongues and so on. Oh, well, that's for some people. No, it's for everyone. No, it's for some people. I can show you in the Bible. No, he'll show you. You can't do that. You've got to argue the Bible with me. She said, he'll show you. I know Jesus. I know Holy Spirit. They want you to have this beautiful gift. I said, I won't have it. I already checked that out with him. No, not really. So, you can't say that. I've been following Jesus for a long time. I became a Christian before you did. None of those arguments worked. She just waited on Holy Spirit, and sure enough, he came to me in my study, and he overwhelmed me, and the Spirit of God was in the room, and guess who walks in? Pastor Mary Pat. She wasn't pastor then. She was just a high school teacher. Walks in. I'm on the floor. She goes, do you want to receive here, or do you want to receive somewhere else? Who am I, Aquila? Come on. I'm not Apollos. Okay, let's receive in the bedroom. Okay. So she just put her hand on me. She didn't, you know, say, I told you so. She just put her hand on me. She didn't even, you know, pray out like I know she could. She just let Holy Spirit deal with me so I couldn't say to her, well, you prayed over me, and that's probably what something happened. I don't know. No, she just let Holy Spirit do it, smiled her smile, and sure enough, I encounter the Holy Spirit. I just speak out so easily. Heavenly language, and I'm going, I don't even believe I'm supposed to have this. I don't mind if he hits me in other ways, but this one? Really? But that wasn't the half of it, the way she loved people. I thought I loved people. She sacrificially loved people. I watched her do that. I saw her sacrificially love 5 children. 3 were mine, brought into the relationship. And she just loved them, cared for them, met them where they were, accepted them, wanted the best for them. Incredible. And 1 received Jesus powerfully because of her. Mother's Day means a lot to me because she's a mother in the spirit, as she was talking about earlier. Deborah was a mother in the spirit, Priscilla. And that's a powerful, powerful thing to be, that you have daughters in the faith, sons in the faith, that are going to go out and touch the nations with all that God has given her to help them and encourage them. And I now have realized something, that she's turning to me more in this season that has been amazing the last 2 years in intensity. Many different things coming on our plate. She has turned to me more for prayer than ever. We used to pray together and she'd say, would you pray? And I said, well, you're the one that has the powerful prayers. Go for it. She said, well, go ahead. You can pray. Hey, let's start with you, and then I'll finish up. So she would start, and man, you know, she was changing this, and, you know, she covers the entire earth and everybody in it, and, you know, everybody in our family and everybody. You know, I thought we were just praying for, you know, so-and-so, and we're praying for everybody. You know, okay, and then I finish up. In Jesus' name, amen. That was, you know, not quite that bad, but that was the way it was. I was there. She had the powerful prayers. I kind of, you know, deferred to her. She might not agree with all this, but pretty much that was the way it was. And occasionally I would lead the prayer. But now I notice she's saying, will you pray? And no, you pray. And I pray, and I like my prayers. They're powerful. I am encouraged when I'm done. She has mentored me. I can say that because she's not here. In what powerful prayers really are. What touches the heart of God? Compassionate prayers. Passionate prayers. Loving prayers. Receiving prayers for people. She mentored some of that in my life, and I thought I was an amazing, radical Christian. And she's helped me go a level higher. Why not give her credit where credit is due on Mother's Day or any other day? To let you know, women of God, you have a mighty, mighty destiny. And you're following someone that has stepped into it and taken all the hits so it won't be so hard for you. I mean, it might be. But she's taken a lot of hits from people. You won't be the first. She has been in a lot of arenas and taken the hits. So when you go overseas and you're, you know, they give you the microphone and you're able to speak, kind of keep in mind that she had to break that envelope open many times. We had to talk with the pastors and let them know, by the way, this isn't a male thing. This is a couple thing. And she is not playing the piano. She is going to be preaching the gospel. And they go, oh, at first. Now, as you come along, oh, yeah, they'll give you the microphone, no problem. She's paid the price. And I lift her up for that. She is a Deborah. Why not say so? And she has gone through amazing hits. But she's smiling and loving all of you. She could not trust you if she wanted to because of all the hits she's taken. But no, she trusts Jesus and the Jesus in you and thinks the best of you and all that, not thinking, oh, who's next to hit me in the back? It's so cool. It's so cool. And God has done that in her. God has done that powerfully in her. And he will do it in you. Step up if you haven't. Step in if you haven't. And the same way with the men. We'll get to that on Father's Day. Father, we thank you, Lord. You're so good. I just shared my heart. They're going to have to let you, Holy Spirit, show them what my heart is. Father, because I didn't probably say it all, you know. Okay, so Jesus, touch them. Holy Spirit, you straighten it all out, making an arrow to their hearts of joy and love for you and care for you, because you can do it in us if we just step forward and let you empower us. Let you turn us into prophetesses or prophets. Let you turn us into those that receive your Spirit and are powerful in the Spirit and not afraid, Lord, that we receive all your gifts, that we don't leave out 2/3 of the New Testament, that we believe in healing and deliverance, which you are doing all over the earth. Why not join in? Why not take the risk to see you do it powerfully through men and women of God everywhere? More Deborahs, rise up. More Priscillas, rise up. More Esthers, rise up. More Ruths, rise up. Father, we release your powerful daughters and mothers, Father, to your destiny for them. And we, as men, will take our place as well on the front lines. God, we're leaders. But it's easier for us. In the culture, it's easier for us. In cultures in Africa and in Asia, it's easier for us. So, Father, we intentionally raise up our daughters and our mothers, Father, today. And always, not just today. We don't just give them a rose and say, you're honored. We want to honor in the Spirit. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.